Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. As we think together about this little part of it now, we pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear your truth and to trust what you say to us because it's good. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fun things about being a dad is that you get to inflict dad humour upon your children. Like I often offer to write my eldest daughter, Emma. Hi, sweetie. I offer to write her a list of the things that are awesome about her dad so that she can go to school and share that list with her friends. Obviously, she'd want all of her friends to know how awesome her dad is. What else are they going to talk about in the playground at lunchtime? I mean, really. I have to say, Emma has been a bit reluctant to take me up on this offer so far. I assume that's because she doesn't want the other kids to feel bad when they realise that her dad is way more awesome than any of their dads. She doesn't want to sort of overwhelm them with my awesomeness. See how much fun dad humour is? It's good. The idea of Emma going to school to tell her friends about how awesome her dad is, that is a piece of dad humour. But in Colossians 1, God, through the Apostle Paul, wants us to know just how awesome his son Jesus is. And his list is not a joke. Once you understand his list, once you understand what he writes about Jesus, you realise that Jesus is right off the scale of awesomeness. So look at the things that he says about Jesus just in those couple of verses. Look at it in your outline that Matt read for us. He calls him the image of the invisible God. He's saying, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He's saying, get to know this man Jesus, you'll get to know God. He calls him firstborn over all creation. Back in those days, the firstborn child inherited everything. They were the child who ruled all the other children. Who here is a firstborn child? Put your hand up. Yeah, we wish those days were back, don't we? But Jesus is called firstborn over all creation. He doesn't just rule a bunch of brothers and sisters. He is the firstborn over everything that's been created, the whole universe. He rules the universe. And then you see in verse 16 it says, by him all things were created. When the universe was created, he was there. He was involved. He was involved in designing the human eye and the human hand and the human mind. He was involved in designing and creating this beautiful, carefully balanced universe that we live in, from the tiniest microbe to the biggest star. By him, all things were created. And then verse 16 finishes by saying, all things were created by him and, what's it say? All things were created by him and for him. He made the universe for himself. He owns it. And then in verse 17 it says, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. He didn't just create the universe. He's the one who holds it together. He's the one who keeps the planets spinning. He's the one who keeps the sun burning with energy to heat our planet. He's the one who holds the key to life working well. He's the one who holds the key to families working well, to communities that work. Do you get what he's saying about how awesome Jesus is? Jesus is the one who shows God. Jesus is the one who made the universe. Jesus is the one who keeps the universe spinning. Jesus is the one to whom everything and everyone belongs. He's the creator, he's the master, he's God. On the scale of awesomeness, if it goes from 1 to 10, he's saying Jesus is like 100 billion. This is an outrageous thing to say about Jesus. But when you actually look at Jesus, it starts to look not quite so outrageous. At Hawk this week, the kids were looking at some of the things Jesus did and said. Kids, do you remember The other day you read about Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well. Do you remember that story? And you remember, even though he had never met this woman before, he knew all the stuff that was going on in her life. On Friday, I think it was Friday, you learned about Jesus visited the town of a man named, guy up a tree, do you remember his name?
Zacchaeus.
Oh, you were listening, Zacchaeus. And again, even though Zacchaeus was just one face in a crowd, although up a tree, Jesus knew his name and knew all about him, even though he'd never met him before. Jesus knew what was going on inside people. Imagine if I just met you for the very first time and I was able to tell you your whole life story and what was going on in your head and what was going on in your heart. You think there was something pretty special about me, wouldn't you? But that's Jesus. He knows what's going on inside of people. He sees right into our hearts because he created us in the first place. He sustains us every day. There's another story in the life of Jesus that I don't think you looked at this week, where Jesus and his disciples get into a boat to go across Lake Galilee as the sun's going down. Jesus has been teaching huge crowds all day, and so he lies down in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow to go to sleep. Kids, you learned this week what some of the disciples did for a job, didn't you, when he called them? What were they doing? What did they do for a job? I can't hear you. What were they? Yes. What were they? They were fishermen. They could let Jesus sleep because they knew how to handle a boat. But out on the lake, this storm whipped up, and these experienced fishermen, they knew how to handle a boat in a storm, no drama. Except this storm got fiercer and fiercer, and the waves got bigger and bigger, so that even they were terrified. And so they went and they woke Jesus up in the back of the boat. They said, "Don't you care if we drown, Jesus?" What did Jesus do? He got up and he said, "Be still." And the storm stopped and the waters calmed down and they were safe. Imagine you were on Sydney Harbour on some boat on some school excursion. And imagine a big storm does come up out of nowhere and the water's coming over the side of the boat and the waves are sort of smashing you around, and so you see that even the boat crew are terrified. Imagine your teacher at school, just think about your teacher for a minute, imagine your teacher at school got up and said, "Be still," and the storm stopped. I wonder how you'd react to your teacher then. I reckon when they said stop talking and pay attention, you'd stop talking and pay attention. We know how Jesus' disciples reacted because the Bible says they were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." All things were created by him and for him. He made it all. He controls it all, even the forces of nature. And you read on some more through the Gospels and the Bible, you discover that doesn't just mean the weather and the seas. He also has power to heal people. Jesus healed lots of people of lots of things. One of my favourites is a guy named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. Back in those days, didn't have all the stuff to help blind people they got nowadays. No guide dogs and stuff like that. So Bartimaeus, do you know what he did? He spent his day sitting in the gutter by the side of the road begging for money. One day, Jesus comes through his town. And I don't know how he knew about Jesus, but somehow he'd worked out stuff that most people hadn't worked out. He'd worked out the sort of stuff that's there in Colossians 1:15-17. And so, when he heard the big crowd around Jesus coming by, he started to yell out to Jesus at the top of his lungs, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me." Now the crowd, they were going, "Shh, be quiet." They thought Jesus was too important to worry about a smelly beggar in a gutter. And in one sense, they were right. Why should the guy who created and rules the universe worry about one little beggar? In one sense, they were right. But they were also way wrong. Because what did Jesus do? He stopped and he told them, bring him over here. And then with just a couple of words, he made him see. Jesus had power over all creation, including over our bodies. He healed eyes that didn't work. He healed ears that didn't work. He healed hands and legs that didn't work. He did it all with just a few simple commands. No hocus pocus magic. He just spoke and it was done. All things were created by him and for him. He made it all and he controls it all, even the forces of nature. He has power over everything. He even has power over death. The story that stands above every other story in the Bible is the story of the resurrection of Jesus. That shocking and impossible but true story. It shows us that Jesus is more powerful than every force in the universe, up to and including death itself. Nobody can beat death. Donald Trump can't beat death. I'm not sure he realises that, but Donald Trump can't beat death. Vladimir Putin can't beat death. Nobody can beat death. But Jesus did, because he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. Colossians makes an outrageous claim about Jesus, but the people who were there saw Jesus back that claim up with the actions that matched it. He really is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What does that mean? It means Jesus is Lord and I am not. It means Jesus is in charge of life and I am not. I was made by him and for him. He made me for him. My life belongs to him. And this is very good news. It's very good news. Because Jesus is not just powerful. He is powerful. The one who made and sustains the universe is pretty powerful. But he's not just powerful. He is also kind and generous and loving. How kind and generous and loving? Well, the Bible tells us that he died on the cross to take the punishment that we deserve for all the times that we live like we're Lord, not Jesus. And there are plenty of times I act like my life doesn't belong to Christ. Once upon a time, I didn't want to belong to Christ. I didn't want to trust him as Lord. God said, Jesus is your Lord. And I said, yeah, not interested. Imagine that. I thought that I could ignore what God said and he just had to put up with it. Foolish, foolish me. But even though I ignored him, Jesus chose to die on that cross to take what I deserve for being such a jerk about him. And then he said, come and follow me. Kids, do you like doing nice things for the people at school who treat you like rubbish? For the bullies, do you like doing nice things for them? Adults, would you go out of your way to be kind to the person who is horrible to you? I think we would find that pretty difficult, wouldn't we? But Jesus died for people who were ignoring him and rejecting him. And then he invited them to follow him, to follow the one who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, to have his power at work in them and for them forever. He's not just very powerful, he's very loving. And no matter who we are, and no matter what we've done, he says, come follow me. I'm Lord, you're not. Come and follow me. Come and discover what it's like to be friends with the guy who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn over all creation. Come and discover that I really am the key to life because I made it all and I hold it all together. Trust me, he says. And that really is awesome. I'm going to pray that God will help us to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who Jesus is. It's just mind-blowing that he created the universe, that it's all his, that he's the image of you. But Father, that's who he is. He showed that to his disciples by doing all that stuff. Father, help us to trust him and to see that he's Lord and that we're not. Maybe for the first time today, help us to say, I'm going to trust Jesus as Lord. Father, if we've been doing that for a long time, help us to see in a new way just how awesome and good he is and to trust him more and more. And Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.